Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
There we go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm like talking to myself, right? Usually I turn on the mics before, but I forgot. My mind is like all over the place this morning. So welcome to the show. Today's April 17th.
Happy Monday.
A great show for you while we're preparing for war in North Korea.
Don't talk about it right? Like this. Okay. Don't do it. See, I don't know if you're joking.
No, I'm joking.
I know. No, I mean like we could be soon.
Well, you know. Well, I don't want to talk about that because it's not really where I want to be with the show today. We do have a guest sitting by. We'll bring him in just a moment. It's going to be a very entertaining show. Someone who's a professional at entertainment. So there you go. You know,
very it's not, fucking funny.
Not every day that we get someone like that.
That's right.
So did you have a nice weekend, Tori?
Yeah. I worked and then I worked some more.
Did you get to go to the beach at all?
No, but it was like yesterday was 77
right?
here.
Wasn't it beautiful?
And it felt like that was like the first time I was like, is it bikini season?
I think so. Yeah.
And
in LA it is. Yeah.
And I just ate more of my feelings because of that's terrible. But anyway, it's getting warm up. I'm very excited. Beach time. It's very exciting. Summer's the best in LA. Summer's why spring and summer is when you're like, oh, this is why I live in LA.
Exactly.
Not that like fall and winter isn't that bad, but like, you know, it's like when you're in, when they're still in their kind of March and you're just like tank top it out, maybe bras off, nips are like, it's great.
Yes. You know I like I mean? Nips are out. Yes. And blue sky, you know, bright sun.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't beat it. You
no.
can't beat it.
Yeah. And you realize this is why LA is so great. And
yes.
You put up with all the traffic for cocktail.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There you go. So a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
I had a great weekend too, you know, family and stuff like that. And it's... you know, so it was beautiful weather, absolutely. And we had to work on this place. We emptied everything out to get new carpeting. Did you notice the new carpet?
Oh, excuse me.
Right.
I have to say,
nice,
we
right?
went from a pukey green to this
right.
phenomenal burnt sienna.
So you like my choice?
I love
carpet?
It.
Yeah. You see, the green one
it's
was
a chocolate.
Not my choice.
No.
This one is my choice.
Much more of a warm, cozy hearth.
It's got blue and burgundy and whatever
yeah.
in it and brown.
It's a
whatever.
warm tone.
Right. So, but in order to get that, they wouldn't let us do room by room. We had to empty out the whole suite.
Oy.
To the hallway, to the where the wood floor is in the middle
from
here.
The hallway to the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And then reconnect all the wires. Imagine that.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah, that was a lot of work, but I like that. I like house cleaning, you
oh,
know.
There you go.
Yeah, we you know
I
we,
feel like
we
cleaning for you is a little bit of a it gets you a little high on, you know what I mean? You get a little high off the
yeah,
cleaning.
But I don't like to do the cleaning.
No, no.
It's like when people do it
sure,
for me.
Sure, you hire.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you.
Exactly,
not
but
you,
I need but the cleanliness.
No. But for you, sure. yeah, that's a very important to you. And I surround myself with people like that, even though I'm not like that, so
oh,
that
wow.
my surroundings are clean because of everyone
there
else.
There you go, you yeah. know. But, you know, I mean, many places like in... You know, in the furniture, whatever, there's dust gathering and all that stuff. So it's nice to get rid of it and you start new, you know.
Spring, man. What
yeah.
There's nothing better.
No, nothing better. So I'm
Easter,
renewing a lot
Passover.
Of things in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good about
wow.
it.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, there
all
you go,
right.
you know. I don't know that I'll start watching any more TV. I don't think I'll change that. But I missed, because I don't watch TV, I missed the Bee Gees tribute last night.
Yes, I heard
I can't about it. Believe it.
I know, that's like your favorite thing
I'm
in the
biggest,
whole
I'm
wide
the
world.
Biggest fan.
I know.
And I missed it, so I'm going to have to catch it somewhere. Hopefully, they'll have it on
I'm
Amazon.
I'm sure it's
or
on something
right?
else.
Or CBS.
Yes.
It is on CBS, so somewhere I'll
My
find
mother-in-law
it.
Wrote me, and I was like, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I don't
no
know.
No Bee Gees.
Yeah, but I should have sent it to you because I was like, all I know is Samuel, you know.
I know. What happened was I was in the middle of. Well, I was working, and then I went on Facebook, and people are talking about Bee Gees tribute. I'm like, what? So the thing is, I don't have local TV because I haven't connected. I cut the cable.
I cut the cable.
And
I did as well.
And I didn't put the local. I bought one of those aerials, you know, the antenna thing.
Yeah, that's what Brooks and I have.
But it doesn't work. You have to put it near a window, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't have a window to put near
Are
my TV.
Are you living in a teepee? Why don't you have
no,
a window?
No, no, no. Well, the TV is far from the window. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And besides, in the picture, they don't say anything. They tell you here, connect it to the back of the TV. and that's
oh no, we have to stand there. And I know for a fact when Brooke stands like to the right and this in the living room, it's more mm-hmm. fuzzy than on the left.
Really?
Of the living room.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're talking like 1992,
right?
80, you know, we're way yeah. back there with the rabbit ears, but
right. but
it's
it
free.
Works, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And it works, goddammit.
Yeah, and but we pick know, up the local football games sometimes yeah, right? during our.
I know, you know, that's one yeah. thing I need, but who cares? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't yeah. watch any TV, but the Bee Gees, that was amazing.
So sorry.
I did see Barry Gibb here in concert last year, or was it 2 years ago? And he was just amazing.
Aww.
You know, he was amazing.
I'm so sorry so, you missed that. Well, I'm sure you can
I know.
Find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm going to find it.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Oh, I can tell.
I'll buy it if I have to.
It's man. Being clean in the Bee Gees for you.
Yeah,
and
right?
you're in heaven.
Yeah, I
That's
know.
That's it.
I know. And apparently some other singers sang those songs too,
oh,
right?
Man, you know, you would have loved it. I heard about it. Yeah, I should have told you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. How could you have known?
Bad
you
know? Co-host. Bad co-host.
No, I should have known somehow, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a bird should have told me yeah. about the Bee Gees.
Yeah,
but I admire them because not only have they written so many songs for so many people, but they've lived in music since they were kids. And they were very popular with different types of music, too.
Like the genres
you know?
Were different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So before Saturday Night Fever, they had songs like Nights on Broadway and, you know, and things like that. You're looking at me like, what song
No,
is
I'm not. I'm you looking know? Like, I want to hear more about Nights on Broadway. That was that look.
That was an awesome song. Are you kidding me? I
Can
was
we hum it? What, is it? What does it sound like?
Blame It At All. On the Nights on Broadway.
Ooh.
You don't know that.
No, but
okay.
I like the sound.
Yeah. But at any
<Ba-na-na-na>.
But actually, we can play it for you. But no.
I remember okay. in New York walking down the Nights of Broadway and being like, well, I've sort of made it. I've moved here for my dream. And then yeah. someone was pissing on my left.
Really?
Like a homeless dude. And I'm yeah. like, and that's what
there
New
you
York
go.
Is
that's
like.
Broadway. Yeah.
Blame then, it on Broadway.
Then came John Travolta with his paint can. You know, staying alive. And then people are like, what? Those Bee Gees sound like chipmunks, you know? And that's all they sing is disco. But that was not the case at all. You know, so
like,
before and after, they did not do disco. It was just that.
Now, are you a disco fan?
I was, and I still am. Disco songs, you know. I like disco songs.
Can I ask you a question? I have a question. When you went to the discotheque and disco music was playing, did people actually, like, point down and up?
Some did after Saturday Night Fever.
Did they really? Did you roll your hands? And, like, did people do
some
like
people
more?
People did that.
Like, almost like a line dancing situation.
I wanted a white suit. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
I would love to see
but I never
this.
Got one.
No?
No,
but so
crazy.
People, like, did more of, like, organized dancing, electric slide kind of level, like,
for
on the floor?
A couple months, maybe.
Okay.
But I remember there were some discos that had color, those lighted floors.
Everybody wanted that.
Right, you
oh
know?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I was living in Vegas at the time, and they had several discos that were amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And everyone's on so many drugs.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and
yeah.
I was, what, like, 18 or
Jesus.
Something when this
wow.
happened.
I would have done anything to be able to watch you walk in with, like, a white suit at a discotheque.
Can you imagine?
Oh, fuck that. That'd be
oh
so
my
funny.
God. That would be a scene.
Yeah.
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 So.
So people, it's just funny to me because like now you go to like a club and there's hip hop or whatever and you're more like kind of just like moving and right. grinding, which is also like very weird if you aren't from this era.
Right.
But in the 70s, like it feels like people were like more like line dancing in my
right.
head. Is that, you know, more organized?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. No, it never really did happen.
So you just kind of move again, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, look, I'm sure there were discos maybe in New York or something. I mean, I lived in Vegas at the time.
Right, right.
Maybe in L.A., New York, it was different.
I think
you
that's
know?
So funny.
Yeah. It's very funny. But
yeah.
you talked about grinding.
Yeah.
And this just takes me to a segue real quick.
Oh, nice
before
segue
we get
there.
To our guest. The app Grindr.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And that's, what, for gays, right? For homosexuals. And it's to connect, you know, a dating app for gay and bisexual men. So what happened is an ex-boyfriend of one guy actually created a fake profile and said that he has a rape fantasy and invited people. He gave out the name of his restaurant so that he owns.
Like his own or his ex?
No, his ex.
Oh.
Yeah. So everybody started showing up at his ex's door wanting to have sex.
That's a terrible thing.
Can you imagine? So now he's trying to sue Grindr. But apparently there are laws that protect those websites.
I got to say, I think that happens like 25,000 times a day,
right?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think that everyone's trying to get their ex into some kind of weird thing. I mean, and the fake profiles on those and the robots are...
Yeah.
There's one guy I'm friends with who's a stand-up named Gregory Kashaminian. I have to find out. It's a long name, but he's very funny. And he always posts his conversations on Tinder and all that. And you can tell when it's a robot because he's like, I don't think you're real. I feel like you're just a robot. What else do you want to talk about? All right. I want to go punch myself in the face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well, anyway, we'll continue this conversation with our guest. We're joined in the studio by Mr. Craig Shoemaker. Yay! Welcome to the show.
The new carpeted studio.
Yes, yes, sir. Welcome to it.
I love the way women describe colors as foods. Because it's a nice chocolate going on.
It
That's
is.
True, right?
You
it
hear,
is.
Oh, my walls are salmon, but you'll never hear, my walls are veal parmesan.
Wow.
I got my car as a steak tartare.
Well, Greg Shoemaker is a funny man, and this is the first time, really, I get to hear you being funny. We met a few weeks ago, actually, officially.
You mean I'm not funny on the show that I do on here?
No, well, your show
is... First time I've heard you be funny, Craig.
No, that's not what I mean. But your show is... So you started a show here about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your show. I mean, you guys talk about more serious things.
Yes, though. We do.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I always believe that there are no limitations on comedy or art. You know, you shouldn't live in a box and... A lot of times I'll say something and people go, stick to comedy. I go, no, I'm going to stick to whatever my soul tells me to say.
Yeah, that's right. You're not what you do, you know?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, people don't understand.
I'd be like,
that.
You can't talk unless you're on the radio? Like,
yeah,
the
right.
Hell?
It's like your husband's a carpenter. You go, stick to nailing. You
know? I mean, I love it.
No, we're all a lot of things. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I do. You know, I'm an author, a doctor.
Yes, a speaker and everything.
Yeah.
Wow. So, we'll get to all that. But
what's the name of the show?
I'm a love master, and I still wrote 2 children's books.
Wow.
It's called Well-Rounded.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Some people have no idea how to deal with that kind of thing, but...
Yeah. So you started the show several weeks ago. Tori was asking, what is the name of it? It's Stand Up Dad.
Stand Up Dad.
Nice.
Right. And
my co-host is my son.
Oh. Right.
Obviously mentoring in life. And a lot of it's generational.
Like
last week we covered, which I thought was funny. Uh-huh.
But the thing is, you have to understand
different
language
from our generations.
Oh.
Right. Which I didn't know any of his and he knew none of mine.
Wow.
Disco thing was kind of relevant. Like people asking about cross-generational things.
Yeah. He would have no idea. He just got back from Coachella.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Okay, so yeah, this is a prime. That's a great idea. A great idea.
Definitely
so generational. And I'm raising 4 children, you know, and 2 with my ex-wife and 2 with my now wife. And it's so a lot of the show is about, you know, how does a guy become a stand-up guy? You know, because
it's
I'm
great
a comedian.
Idea.
And, you know, you're trying to be a stand-up parent and a stand-up guy and give examples. But I'm a comic.
Right.
So half of his life is in my act. I'm sure he's not happy when I'm talking about him masturbating. Or finding a condom.
Yeah, right.
I thought that episode was funny.
Yeah.
I found a used condom in his place.
Oh, no.
I was cleaning his closet. I'm going, look at this closet.
What are you doing cleaning his closet? He's 18.
Because he's standing there. I go, it's easy because he won't do it. I go, watch this. You just go this. And I went,
no.
And there was oh, my God. It was in my hand for a second.
What, a loose condom? Not in the package?
No, it was used.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going, who was in here?
Yeah, and why
so
do
I'm
you
trying
leave
to be
it
a stand-up guy? And then the other part of me is the comic going,
right,
you
that's
know,
hilarious.
And the other guy hilarious. Is the guy going, you know, who was she?
Yeah.
And
there's
then
like
there's
18
a part of me
things,
that you're saying, you know, hey, great, used, you know, you're using
safe
protection,
sex?
Right?
How about,
safe
but
sex?
Now let's not litter. We should talk about littering.
We should throw
out the said condom. But that's so funny when we talk about when my husband and I were just talking about this because did you write for the Magic Johnson show?
I was the co-host.
Okay, you were the co-host for the Magic Johnson show.
Well, don't go really. It was the worst moment of my career.
No, but I mean
that's
Magic
a career
Johnson.
Destroyer where, right there.
What was that though? I mean, that
he used to watch it all the time. He loved it.
Really?
Yeah. So he was saying
your
he was
husband
so
watched the Magic Hour.
Yeah, it's the Magic Hour,
which was more the Magic Minute. How long it lasted?
Tell me something. How long ago was it?
It was 98.
Oh, okay.
I was I was chosen to be the co-host. And I wasn't like the co-host, like, sit there and just respond or laugh at him because he's not known as a joke teller,
right,
Magic
right,
Johnson.
Right.
And so I would tell the jokes and he would respond. The problem was they panicked and they brought in these writers from The Tonight Show. I don't mean writers from the Jay Leno, the Johnny Carson Tonight Show. The really? Guy had a members-only jacket and mullet haircut. He's going to write jokes for me, contemporary jokes. It was a nightmare. I called him Sling Blade because he had a jutted-out jaw, and he talked like Sling Blade. I said, Sling Blade, I can't tell these jokes. I'll get booed. And this is a quote. He goes, a boo is as good as a laugh.
Oh, my God, a boo is a
Johnny good. Loved to be booed. Everything was about Johnny Carson. I go, I'm Craig Shoemaker. Nobody knows who I am. I can't get booed. That can't be my shtick.
Right.
So this is a true story. So I was backstage opening night. And you have to realize a lot of us in comedy are in it because we want to get even with the ones who destroyed us as children.
Oh, the absolutely. The broken we're all brokenhearted.
The 13 girls that didn't go to the prom with me that shot me down. Right. The one that did go with me that made out with Ricky Altamare in the corner.
Baggage.
So, you know, you're trying to get. So I'm backstage. I'm going, oh my God. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to get back at. I have a national television show. So Sling Blade, he made me tell these jokes. I swear to God. They're the worst jokes
really?
Ever.
Wow.
And he wrote the intro for Magic. You know, I had won all these awards. And here's my intro, Magic. Crazy screaming crowd. They love Magic. Sheila E's the band leader.
This is the big moment for Magic.
Big moment. Big moment for me. I'm backstage. And here's my intro. He goes, all right, everybody. Let's get the show started with my co-host. Now, here's a guy nobody would shower with. Craig Shoemaker. I'm going, what?
What?
I actually contemplated not coming out.
Whoa.
Like, can we take this again? But it's a live show. So I come out, and I have the worst walk in history, by the way. I walk like a piston. I have this bouncy white guy walk. The crowd is urban, which is another term for black.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a black crowd, and I'm not.
They hate you already.
I did find out though, my DNA, I'm 14%, but nobody knows that.
Mazel.
The way I look is not. I look like John Boy Walton. Do you remember him? Anyway, so I come out and I sit there, and they say, "Tell this joke." And they, you know, respond to him. He goes, "Hey, Craig, how about that Bulls game?" I said, "Magic. I haven't seen a beating like that caught on tape since Rodney King."
Oh, my.
Now, do you see your reaction? Imagine this with the urban crowd.
The urban crowd.
There were oxygen masks popped out of the ceiling.
I'm
there was
sure,
a gasp you could have heard here from Paramount Studios.
Oh, my.
And instead of helping me out, known for the assistant basketball, he just goes, "Oh, Craig. Oh, you are bad. Remember, buddy, that was Craig, the co-host, not me." He threw me right in a wood chipper.
Wow.
And I told him, Adonis. A joke. It's written by Sling Blade again. He goes, "Oh, Craig, now she's not going to come on the show."
Oh my!
And I'm sitting there thinking, that's not the reason. Everyone in Hollywood is canceling doing this show. If you could pronounce the movie they're starring in.
Oh my God.
He couldn't pronounce anything. I swear, Michael Clark Duncan was on. He's reading a cue card. He was in Armageddon.
Yes.
He goes, "Now, up next from the movie Armageddon." Now, here he is from Armageddon.
Oh my God.
"Oh, Craig, how do you say that word?" I said, "Just say end of the world." This is the end of my
career.
See,
that would have been funny.
I was saying funny things, but they wanted me to only say what was written.
See, I wish you could have been yourself.
So you have to understand, I'm a poor kid from Philadelphia, fatherless, and here are the first guests, national television shows, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm here with two of my idols.
Of course. Yes.
And then I realized about halfway through, I should be the UN translator for these two.
Because you can't understand.
I can't understand either one of them. And here's the conversation. They had that Hollywood kiss-up conversation. This is actual conversation. Goes, "Arnold, the reason I had you as a guest on my first premiere episode, you make a lot of money for a lot of the needy people. Folks, don't he give it up for all the needy?" "No, Magic, you're the one who give all the money." "Yeah, you got the AIDS awareness, the Magic Johnson Theater in the hood. Come on, Arnold. You're the one with them Special Olympics. Help out those needy kids." And I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to blend in?
Whoa.
So I lean over. I almost gave a buck to the homeless guy. He didn't have change for a 10. Craig.
Oh, man. Well, he loved
now,
you,
the homeless
man.
Guy's not going to come on the show.
Now, this guy should have stayed in basketball.
Yeah.
Should not have gotten his own show. There you
go. I got
go.
Fired in the middle of the show.
Really?
Day three. We'll be back after this. Apparently, they didn't include me. They came
really?
Up and yanked me off the couch. Yeah.
But like in the middle of a show.
In the middle of the show,
And
Arsenio walks out and goes, "Where's Shu? He's funny." Yeah. And then Magic had to ad lib. That wasn't on the cue card.
Oh,
"Where's
man.
Shu? He's funny." And
well,
they put me in like later on in the episode. It was horrible. Yeah. They treated me like
garbage.
A pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, he was like, "We got a cooking episode," and he'd throw flour on me. "Now Craig's a cake."
Yeah.
I'm going, oh,
well,
my
obviously,
God, this is so degrading.
Obviously not a good fit for you there.
No, it wasn't a good fit, and then they eventually got rid of me because I said something on to a newspaper in Philadelphia where I'm from, and it got out here, and they used it as an excuse to cancel my contract.
Oh, wow. So you're from Philly. You're from Philly. What was your childhood like? So you said you look not like your background. What is your background? I mean, what...
Well, I have a lot of... I was raised... My mom was married a number of times, so I was raised different religions.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was confused.
Yes. Yeah.
I was, you know, Easter and Passover the same week. So I'd be sitting there going, what is today?
Yeah, can I eat this?
Is the empty chair for Elijah or Uncle Ray?
Yeah.
Are we hiding matzah or eggs?
Eggs.
Right. Well, and each religion tells you kind of look out for watch for the other religion, you know. We're the ones, you know. Like, I remember when I was growing up, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, you can't even mention the name, you know.
Oh, really?
And stay away from Christians.
Really?
That's the way it was, wow. You know, way back when today. It's not like that.
Right. That happened in my home.
Really?
Stay away from the
Goyim. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What are we today?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't
saying,
even know what I am today.
That is
confusing. Wow, that is confusing.
It was a very strange thing because it was brought up one way, then it being a church.
So now, did that turn you off to religion in general?
Yes, it did. Very
yeah,
much
of course.
So. As a matter of fact, you know what I did yesterday for Easter? I golfed 36 holes. I played 2 rounds of golf.
That's what you're supposed to do. What do you want to go to
Everybody
church
else is
and
looking
cry?
For eggs and stuff. And I got kids, so I say, yeah, go.
Well, to be honest, putting a ball in a hole is the same as a bunny representing some kind of like Jesus Christ resurrection.
Right.
Both are very like, you know, it's like a pagan symbol. It has nothing to do. It has to do with fertility and springtime.
Oh, if you went over any religion, if you went down,
yeah, exactly.
If you went
exactly.
down the run
yeah.
there.
If you went down the tunnel.
Is that real?
Yeah, yeah,
is that
yeah,
real?
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
real?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
not a lot that is. But I don't talk about religion in my act, but I'm very, but here's the weird thing though, is I'm very much into higher power, mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it.
So you're spiritual.
Spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Which I don't like the word. They need another word.
I agree. It's a little pussy. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because spiritual, it's like the crystals and all that shit.
That's
too,
what
right?
they think. You
right,
know, I'm
right.
not into that.
No,
my wife
but
is
just,
very spiritual. My wife actually says to me, do you know what's spiritual to fart? I go, really? I go, well, you just married the Dalai Lama. Get her the covers and give me a Dutch oven. You'll be praying all right. But she actually just went on a retreat with her sister to Shasta, which apparently is like a
mountain
vortex.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. And she really did have those moments of she went into another space.
Wow.
And
wow,
me alone with 4 kids, which is the opposite of spiritual.
That's true.
I got a 3-year-old daughter. She's a drunk.
What?
Just wobbles around all day, destroying things. Look at daddy's glasses. Now they're a monocle.
Wow.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So you have a 3-year-old. What's that like having one? Because I want a kid too, and I'm wondering, what's it like to have a kid later in life?
It's awesome later
really?
In life, like I'm some 90-year-old.
Well, you're not 25, my God.
You know? to be
you're
25.
A father of 4. Come on.
I am.
Okay, you have an
18-year-old. 18 to 3, yes.
Okay, there you
I have
go.
All the range there. So
there you go.
I'll be honest with you, it is
for?
Absolutely incredible because I grew up with, truthfully, and not to be serious, but I had a really bad family, like a very, very bad upbringing.
Wow.
You and, said fatherless before.
My dad left when I was born. Wow. You know, something I said. Wah. And he's gone.
And your mom has been married several times.
And not only that, doesn't love me and never did. Like,
really?
I actually wrote a joke this morning, and it's a true story. I have Waze, you know, the app Waze, and I put Waze to get here, you know,
right.
because I want
GPS.
To
sure.
And it's a female voice, and I swear it's judgy, just like my mom. Like, I swear I can hear the eye roll and the sigh. And
turn left, idiot.
No, rerouting.
Yeah.
I hear the rerouting, and the other thing is they give you the ETA, and I always try to beat it, like shave off a minute. Like,
you're not
going to limit me. You're not going to...
Exactly.
So I'm like,
right?
I'm like
back.
Darting in and out of cars going, I'll show her.
Right. And did you
give
notice
me an ETA?
When you go weaving and you really try to go faster than the traffic... You're not going to get there any faster. You know,
yeah,
it's
you
like
end
sometimes
up around
I see a car that's in
that.
Front of me, right? He goes very fast. Suddenly, a couple of minutes later, it's behind me. That's stop and go traffic.
Well,
you
need to drive with me.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go on curbs.
Really?
Oh, I'll do anything to beat that time.
Yeah, well,
I call it shaving.
I think we call that woman a trigger for you. She seems like a trigger.
Right. Well, it's a total trigger.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And my Siri is very judgmental.
See, I changed
it. She doesn't speak to me half the time or answer my questions.
Wow. So you gotta shut off all that stuff,
her.
Man.
Yeah.
It's all about her. I changed mine to an Australian man.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it feels more like a butler that I hired. And yeah. You know what I mean?
You see, it's funny, I don't need the voice at all. I turn off the voice. I don't know why you guys like it, but I turn off the voice.
If I'm driving and I'm like, what song is this? And he's like, it's a Down Under by Bobby's. I'm like, right on.
I should
you
go with that.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about Waze. What are you talking about?
I can change. You can change the accent yes. on Waze and Siri.
Okay, but what do you yeah. mean you're going to ask what song
oh,
it is?
Oh, Siri. If you can, you can ask Siri what song it is.
Really? That's yeah, playing that? Right there on your phone, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or it's on the radio, or it's, I'm at a restaurant and I want to know.
Oh, I see. In a restaurant where it plays outside.
You know, yeah, or you're inside.
Oh, so they
a
have
cool
that
song.
App in there. That, I remember that technology.
Shazam was
yeah,
an app,
Shazam.
But now it's just Siri.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that?
We're
you know what?
Future.
I was reading something funny about a woman named Alexa Siri.
I know.
Did
oh
you
my
hear
God,
about that?
S-E-A-R-Y.
And
yeah.
people would call her either Siri or Alexa.
The because, Amazon person.
Yeah, because when you call it, the machine replies, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd call her Siri and then the phones would go off. And shit, you know, or Alexa and stuff. So she, I don't know if they made up the story or what.
You know, there's a real Siri voice. I had her on my podcast.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's amazing.
I do funny things just for myself, my own humor, my own amusement.
That's cool.
I'll say something like dirty to her to see what she says to me back. Like, oh, I want you to go down on me. And then she says stuff like, now, Craig.
Yeah.
I love the way she calls me by name, now.
Now, Craig.
Very judgy.
So you met her in person?
She did my podcast.
So what is she like? And did
you
she
should have her on. She wow. loves it. She loves it. She
really?
Yeah. Wow.
By the way, it might not even be real.
Yeah, right.
She's like claiming that it is. That's someone
even
told
better.
Her, you sound like Siri. Maybe I'll pretend I'm Siri. I have
exactly.
no idea if it's really her.
That would be even better if it wasn't.
I know.
That
probably wasn't.
Yeah. I think the voices. Computer generated anyway, don't you
no,
think?
No, I thought
you
it was
think
a
everything
no,
is recorded?
Voice,
yeah. yeah, I thought there was a
recorded.
Person.
So what if there's a word they didn't record? Something new that just came out.
Well,
they'll probably
I have a,
say,
I have a
I don't
friend,
know what you mean.
I have right? a friend with a name that no one's ever had. Uh-huh. Right? Like, no one's ever had this name. And I love the way she pronounces his name.
Oh, yeah, because they pronounce things wrong all the time.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Everyone's names.
Tori Schulman.
It's
right. like, really?
It's very funny to hear. Could,
right. Yeah. I know. Or like when I try to call my parents, my car, in my car, not my phone, but my car says Parents.
Parents.
It's like Parents. So when you talk to it, you have to say, call Parents.
Parents, I know.
Right? Otherwise, it won't understand.
Call Tori Schulman. I'm like, I'm already dorky enough as it is. Don't make it, like, worse.
I yell at her a lot.
Yeah.
You didn't understand me, and I try to. I one time I was with my kids, and we're going to Kings Canyon, California, and I would try to enunciate because the damn thing would not understand me. I go Kings Canyon, California, and it would come out Porno King, and I'm going, I didn't say Porno Kings. Now, Craig.
And you're back to judgment.
Yeah. More judgment.
It's right. the trigger.
You got to shut off that Siri, Craig. Dude. It's going to make you crazy.
I know.
I know. It all makes me crazy. I was thinking of on the way down, though. I mean, my mom is really, both parents have had an effect on me. My dad's a cult leader.
No way.
Yeah, for years, or was. He's getting a little older now, so he had a harem. He called it his harem
wow.
of women.
Yeah.
12, he had 12 to 13 at his maximum.
What?
That's usually why they start the cults,
of
you know, so
it
the
is.
Guy can have all this thing.
Running mule right. rides.
Like
to
real
feed
mules?
The cult. Yeah, mules.
Like actually,
not donkeys
oh, okay.
or little
I see, they're running
burros.
Drug mules or something. Yeah,
no, they had mule rides. They ran in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
And they would take people on the mule rides. And then. I can curse on here, right?
Okay. Fuck yeah. You already have.
So, I haven't yet.
I have.
No, she's.
You
a,
said shit or something.
She's a sailor over here.
I am a sailor.
Yeah. No, I know. But
so I was performing the touring with Richard Jenny, great comedian, and this is when we were kids in comedy, and this guy Glenn Farrington, a comedian, and I'll never forget. We stayed at his place instead of being in a hotel. We were doing a tour of the Pocono like colleges. He would choose who would sleep with him that night. He calls himself the King of the Poconos.
This is your dad?
He used to say to me, "You get over that comedy crap, you could be part of my empire."
Ew.
I go, "I'm going to be Prince of the Poconos." The blue collar honeymoon capital of the Northeast. They live in the mountains with all these women, and they have sleeping bags out in the living room with goats and stuff.
Ew.
And you'd see one would be rolled up because she was chosen to be with him.
That's disgusting.
That night.
That makes me so mad.
So I was trying to tiptoe in, and I said, I'll never forget this. I said, shh, you're going to wake up my father. He goes, and Richard Jenny goes, shoo, fuck your old man. And the mule he rode in on. And we went out on mule rides the next day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, when you have that as a background, and my mom is, you know, to this day is just really mean and, It's a little tough, so yeah. It really motivates one to, you know, use the humor for healing or
right.
Hell yeah.
And that's what they say. Many stand-ups, many comics are grim or they've had a tough life or whatever. I'm
except
not
for
saying
Seinfeld.
That you are. Yeah, that's true. Did he have
Seinfeld
a,
had the, did he have just easy, had like a
blessed,
perfect life,
blessed.
An easy childhood.
That guy has bluebirds picking up his shirt every
it's
day.
It's true, and it's always been that way with him. So he's so that's why his comedy is also doesn't go that
dark,
emotional. Yeah. He used to have, that's I think, true. He had a mandate on the show. You couldn't hug. They could never hug on that show.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a lot
I
of
just
touching.
Wrote for Fuller House, by the way. It was
I
the exact
know.
Opposite.
I heard.
It was the exact opposite. It was let's get a hug in here. Let's get a sentimental moment.
So my husband and I watched Fuller House season 2, and we're obsessed. And I opened, if you guys didn't know, I opened for Craig, which is really interesting once. And you said you were just about to go do that.
Yeah.
So we watched it and fell in love with it. And our trivia name is still Fuller House season 2 is amazing.
Oh, excellent.
And so isn't that funny?
Really?
That's the
anyway,
season I wrote on.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good.
Oh, thanks.
So
yeah.
It's a bunch of 30-year-olds all watching Fuller House season 2 in my house.
That's cool. For
it
those
was
of
a really
you just
different
joining
experience,
us.
By the way, being in a room because you had a stand-up, you're by yourself. And,
yeah.
And you
yeah.
don't tour with anyone. You maybe tour with one person, but it was interesting because you're in a room with people every single... It was like jury
that's true,
duty.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in the
yeah.
room with...
The yeah. writer's room is very people. Different than your own brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is not an easy room. I'm used to people going, you know, you walk in a room, here he is, Craig Schumacher.
Yeah.
Like applause. Like, we can't wait to see you. This is the opposite.
Right.
And plus, I was the only stand-up, so there's a little bit of like resentment. Because
right.
I made a deal with the guy. I said, I've got to keep my gigs because of money, you know. And
right.
so... I would like leave the room and come back like a week later with a
they
tan.
Hate
you. Yeah. And they go, "Where were you, Hawaii? Where were you in the room every day, 10 hours?"
Right.
So, yeah, I was the lone juror.
Awesome. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Craig Schumacher, and I'm trying to get a word in edgewise, but Craig is obviously full of information and stuff. Craig,
well,
on
I'm
your website,
guest. We always hear from you.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. The thing is this: look, and I was going to ask you this too. When Magic introduce you like that, like he wouldn't take a shower with you. That's comedy. I mean, are you like, are you not able to laugh at yourself?
Oh my god,
being a comedian or
laugh at myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm laughing at my
right.
my calling ways my mother.
So,
I mean,
so
you, it's,
but you,
constantly
you felt
laughing.
Offended though that time.
What's that?
You felt offended by what Magic said.
I just thought it was...
wasn't funny.
Well, it was weird to be, you know, like Sheila E.'s there. Here she is, the Grammy Award winner, and I just won this big award and stuff,
right.
So I was expecting something,
right,
you know,
right.
good. But I laugh about it today. I mean, it's like, yeah I mean, at
maybe
the time,
maybe it was
though,
his attempt at comedy, you know?
Well, it was Sling Blade's attempt.
Yeah,
I mean, they
exactly.
fed Magic the words, but
right.
I was back there going, are you kidding me? That's
right.
the introduction? And it doesn't
yeah.
even make that much sense.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
It would be funny if it was
right.
funny, but it wasn't that funny.
Right.
right.
Like,
right.
here's a guy nobody would shower with.
Right.
Is not what you're thinking when you're backstage about to enter.
For the first time.
Yeah. You're about to be seen. But
no, absolutely. You're my guest. You can talk as much as you want. I just want to find out a little bit about you, you know, people might want to know, and we find out about your childhood and everything.
I'm a little,
but
too
I just
want to
give.
So.
That's good. I mean, we are too, you know, and
yeah.
then it always comes back to haunt you later, you know. Oh, you said this, you said
oh,
that.
Oh, believe
you know?
Me, I've had cease
really?
And desist orders from my mother.
Really?
Wow,
that's a true story.
Because wow.
I'd say it's the truth that I'm saying, though.
Right.
She
wow.
belly danced in my high school graduation party.
Oh my god!
You know, here's a divorcee. All my friends want her anyway.
Yeah. Well.
You know, hey, where's your old lady at? I have a recording. Of my friends, we're getting stoned, and I have a recording.
Oh my god!
And the entire recording, it's us pretending we're Cheech and Chong or whatever, and we're going, "Hey man!" And you hear Don Dolan in the background going, "Where's your lady at? Where's your lady at? Where's your lady at?" It's like Rain Man. Where's your lady at? Where's your? It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they all, and then suddenly she's Scheherazade. She became Scheherazade. That was her new name. She had 8x10s and everything, and she. I all of a sudden hear the music on the. And I'm going, oh my god, oh my god! And she bought us a keg, and there's my friends.
Wow!
And she goes, I have a treat for you and your friends. And she descends the stairs with finger cymbals, veils, and a jewel in her navel.
Oh my god!
And then she's belly dancing for them. She puts them under the veils. I'm behind a couch going, I can't be.
Yeah, you can't.
Now.
You can't.
I'm gonna
be serious.
Have to be a comedian.
Now, how old was she at the time? I mean, you were at the prom, right? So this was like.
That was my graduation.
So graduation. She, you know, that was 18. So you were
in her early 40s.
Early 40s, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be tough.
I feel
tough.
Like you had no boundaries of what was inappropriate or
no.
what was appropriate
right.
at
That's
all.
True,
like
right?
with both sets of your parents.
Yeah.
So what did your siblings turn out? Did they all become comics?
No.
Are
no.
they all like.
My sister took the road of. She took the road of my mom. She's like under her spell.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but I know my sister, her true self, when we're hanging out.
Right,
and
right, right.
Is
sure.
not like that.
Right.
Really funny. But she took the route, so we don't speak. She yeah. doesn't speak to
me. I was
going to
say, then there's divides in the family.
Well, there's yeah. and also there was such lying. And that's the mm-hmm. thing. I'm really, really sensitive to people that lie. I go out of my mind. It turns out my mom, I just had, like, this happened when my sister was speaking to me. She finally announced that she swabbed my father, and it's not her father.
What?
And
what?
She was a product of an affair. So this was put on me. And then they got mad at me because I said it to some people who had already known. Everyone already knew. She told
wow.
everyone but me for years.
Wow.
She held on to this secret. So my sister kind of became like my mom.
Yeah.
She
yeah,
like
yeah.
follows her rule because yeah. and that she's like a ruler. You know,
yeah.
you can't mess with her.
Another cult leader.
And exactly. And even, you know, challenging her on like, hey, you lied to me for, you know, all those years, my whole childhood. You know, so there's my sister's like acting like, well, this is my problem. This is my thing. It's my parentage. I go, no, it's mine too.
Yeah, it's mine.
You're
right.
no longer my full sister. You're my half sister.
Right. Yeah.
With this whole other family that she hangs out with now. And then I got another contacted within months of that from someone else that said, are you AJ Shoemaker's son? I go, yeah. And she's my half sister.
Mm.
So I gained a half sister who's awesome.
So you kind of have
way.
A full now.
I have
it's
a
like
full.
Half. Yeah, half and half.
Two halves make a full.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like,
what a life, Greg. What
yeah,
a life.
It's really, it's comical, but it's also.
But I bet it makes you like the best dad in the world.
Thank you. And
right?
You're right?
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I am so in love with my children
yeah.
and my wife.
Once you go through that, you would never treat them that way.
Well, I really have like this divineness that happens with them. It's so pure and so non-conditional when exact opposite is what I was growing up. You know, you brought up by narcissists. I don't like to label anybody, but for lack of another term, when it's always about them, everything's about them. Even when I confronted my mom about it, I said, really, you didn't tell me this? She like had all these excuses
right,
and all this
right.
kind of, and more lies.
Uh-huh.
And when you are lied like that, lied to like that, and my kids know I do not lie to them and don't lie to me. And I always tell them, it's so great. I have this thing. I say, you tell me the truth. And even if they've done something bad
yeah, yeah.
and you will never be punished.
Correct.
And I've lived that.
Me too. I had to call my parents when I was drunk and underage because we didn't have a driver. And they're like, we'd be more mad at you.
Yeah.
And they were like, if you call us and pick you up, we won't be mad. And
right,
they would come.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I get my
kids
to confess this stuff.
There you go.
I get my kids to confess this stuff for
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
I said to them, there were two of them that were in on this lie of stealing money. And then I said, okay, both of you, you know, are going to have like this major punishment. And then the one of them came clean. Like, it was me. It was
they didn't
great.
Even last.
It was great. Yeah. And so then the other one's like, did he blame me? So, but I have such. The love is so strong that someday they're going to go to therapy and go, my father bit my cheek off.
Yeah.
I literally want to bite their cheeks.
That's awesome.
That's
man.
How
that's
much love. I understand
that's
eating
awesome.
Your
eating
you're young now.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
You just get a...
But you were hungry for that when
hungry,
you were growing
yes.
up. So, you know,
oh
you have
God.
It. That's
metaphor.
Awesome.
Nice
yeah.
continuation.
Craig Shoemaker. You guys can go to CraigShoemaker.com and find out. I mean, you do so much more than just stand-up comedy. Let's talk a little bit about that because we're quickly running out of time. See, you do speaking. What does that mean, Craig?
I do,
where do you speak?
I speak, you know, I have my doctorate now. I speak on laughter heals. I was inspired. I really, you know, talking about spiritual, I really work from inspiration. And I kind of like look for indications on things, on what's the message here that the big source is telling me. And one of my best friends, Michael Goldberg, you know, Philadelphia guy, we joke around like nobody's business. Like we have the greatest time. And he directed the movie The Love Master. He wrote Cool Runnings, Little Giants. Like, really great writer. And just one of my very, very best friends. We were filming the movie, and his wife, they wanted to have a child. And she says, I'm ovulating. We're in a condo in Arizona. And I said, why don't you try doing the Love Master, this character that I do? Uh-huh. I said, try doing it. It'll make her laugh and it loosens things up. Because people have told me that they've conceived children. They were told they couldn't conceive after my shows. I have a picture. I have a picture of somebody. They sent me a photo of a kid that was conceived in the parking lot of the Bray Improv. They couldn't even wait till they got home. Because every guy tries to be the Love Master. They do it really bad. The woman laughs. And now you're not trying to have a baby. You're allowing it to happen. So I said, wow, that's interesting, because all these people were telling me this. They're going, and then I would start recommending. I go, come to my show. It's a fertility clinic.
Yeah, yeah, right.
There you go. So she got pregnant. Wow. I went out for sandwiches. I came back, and he was no Love Master. He was done in 5
seconds.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
still,
long.
It worked.
Yeah.
And so baby Kayla was born. She was born 9 months later. But then a year and a half after that, he got brain cancer. And they said, you have 3 months to live. And that's where I was inspired to start the Laughter Heals Foundation. I do guided laughedations. We work in a cancer facility in the Valley for a while and developing the pilot program. And he came to every one of our, every one of whatever our, whatever we would do, these laughter therapy sessions that we would have, came to every, he lived 15 years past that prognosis.
Wow.
For 3 months, yeah.
That's amazing.
I visited him on his, in hospice. He was in the Valley and he was really in bad shape, like in a coma. And many times we had said goodbye to him over the 15 years. It was just horrible what he had to go through. But he kept alive because he had a will to live because of the joy of life and the laughter of life. We shared laughs even about, talk about tragedy. He was having a seizure standing up in Philadelphia at a game. And, you know, the Philadelphians, down in front. And we're trying to, and we're whispering to them, he has cancer. He's having a seizure. I don't care.
That's
F the cancer. Sit down. I can't see the game. So we would laugh about stuff like that and laugh at some of the tragedy. And then he was in a coma. And I was visiting him. And we have it on film because we're doing a documentary about it. And I said, Gold, geez, I don't know what else to do. And you're sitting here with nothing to do. You're in a coma. I said, want me to jerk you off? I said, I've never done anybody but my own, but I'm pretty good with my
own.
I said, you want to give me a little toss off? And all of a sudden, he comes out of a coma and he goes,
shut up.
He laughed one more time.
Shut up.
And he died a few days later.
Wow.
Yeah, and we celebrated his life. We didn't have a funeral. We had like a funeral.
Of course.
And we just had so much. And his daughter got up. Oh, she's so beautiful and elegant. You know, she goes to USC now. And
really?
Oh, my God. She's so incredible. And she's got, you know, part of him in her. And she said, wow, now I know my father from a whole other way. I only knew him as sick.
Wow. See, I grew up with a sick parent. When you say comics are like that, I grew up with a very chronically in pain. So when you have someone in pain, the only way to live through that is like somehow make fun of it or at least do humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
And make them laugh and stuff.
Yeah.
That's laughterheals.org. You guys can find out more information on there. The
don't
ultimate.
Go now because I think the site is, I'm
well,
having it
yeah,
fixed.
But you guys can just sort of like highlight the empty
go to CraigSchumacher.com if you're interested. And just write me a let me know if you're interested. And I do a lot of speaking about laughter healing.
Okay.
I take people through these guided laughedations. Instead of meditating, they laugh, and it is so funny
that's
to watch.
Awesome.
Because laughter really is contagious. You get in a room and people start laughing, there is no way you're going to at least have a smile.
Yeah.
And even
that's
a smile releases healing enzymes.
That's
you know
true,
that?
Yeah. And I think that's what attracts story to comedy too, you know, because it's like, you know, I feel you're in your element. You know, you're funny. You can, and you need, I think you need the courage to stand in front of people and do this, right? Not just anybody can do it. I can tell you this. Look, I can talk on the radio till forever, but I don't think I could do stand-up, you know?
It's a very different dynamic.
It really is. You
it,
know,
is
you
it takes
to
a great...
memorize things, you know? It's not as spontaneous as it looks, right?
Well, if you people talk about that, you know, I do an hour and a half show at least.
Wow,
I do 90 minutes.
He
a night.
So you have
shows.
To remember
and
a
people,
lot.
People wonder. Yeah, they say that about the memory. It's not really a memory when it's your life.
Yeah, it's just a story.
So you just talk
you're
about
accessing.
It exactly.
Yeah. You're just accessing. Okay, right. Here's the next bit. Here's the next bit. You come, you know, come up with some segues and stuff. I mean, it becomes natural. It's instinctual after a while. After I've been doing it since junior year of high school, I did comedy.
Wow, very cool.
So it's been going ever since.
Yeah, like if you are natural at it, it isn't hard, which is weird for people to understand.
Yeah.
It's very normal, and it feels really good.
Right.
But if you're not an instinctual, natural comic, it feels like you want to fucking kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the worst thing in the world. It's a nightmare.
I know, like
are you the same? Here's the one thing is I am very different off stage and even on radio than I am doing stand-up. It's a whole other rhythm. Are you different? Do you do jokes off stage a lot? Like
No.
Like shticky?
I don't do a lot of shticky. No. Too. Yeah.
I'm so sensitive to it because they,
she's
you know,
just
people invite me to weddings and stuff. I don't even know them. And they think I'm going to be funny. I'll go pass the salt and they'll go, oh, he's going to do a salt routine now. You know, I mean, here's the pepper.
Like, no.
Here's the pepper. He's got a whole pepper bit. I'm in his act now. And they always go, do this. And they, I hate when they go, do it in your skit. You should do this in your skit. Your little skit.
Exactly. Again, you know, equating who you are to what you do, you know? And it's two different things, man. I mean, you know, I'm a person. I'm a human being before I'm a comic, you know? Mm-hmm. I do comedy, you know? But at any rate, listen, you wrote a book, too. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. And what's the Love Master D? What is that?
The Love Master, oh, that's called Love Mastered.
Mastered, I'm sorry.
I've got this character, the Love Master. It's because I was a geek in high school, and girls would all use the F word with me, friend. I was 5'1", 92 pounds in high school. And I just this little squirt, you know? But I wanted to get laid as much as anybody else. They would take me to, you know, the girls go to the bathroom together, the posse pee.
Oh, yeah.
They took me with them.
Oh, that's how friend zoned you were.
Major friend.
That's bad, man.
That's bad.
That's real bad.
And they would sit there and they would talk about these guys. It was always a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I was going, I'm a good guy. I was always trying to be a good guy, you know, please my mom again. But I was always so nice to them. And they would say, oh, you're such a good friend. I'm thinking, I'll give the friend a chance, baby. Oh, love master. I'm so big, I make flesh-eating bacteria gang, baby. Oh, yeah.
So you created
And I'm thinking this. I created a character because it's really that underbelly of me. You know, it's that guy that does want to get...
Sure.
It's that Lothario that they want. They say they don't. They want the nice guy, but the nice guys...
We want the cowboys, what we really want.
Yeah, exactly.
We always want the cowboy.
Yeah, that's true, you know. And
cowboy. So I got the steer under here, baby. Oh yeah,
that's good. I love that.
Release the bull,
baby.
That
character. That's awesome.
It makes me laugh.
So the Love Master is that guy, and so I became him, you know, to deal with that, and it became, you know, part of my comedy. So anyway, people think I'm always the Love Master, and
you're like,
but I'm not. I've really mastered love. Because I had such a quest and a thirst to have love in my life. And now I brought it in with my wife is incredible, my four children, and a lot of friends. I'm just madly in love with my friend Golds, you know, just madly in love with them.
That's awesome.
So I've got this, like, I think, story to tell.
Right.
So this woman reached out to me a few years ago on Facebook, private message. And I can feel energy on people. I really do. That's something I'm good at, you know, psychic even.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes better comic. Too is you
feel the audience.
Yeah,
what do they need? What do they not need?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can just there's an energy that's out there. You know, we all put it out. Everybody they have auras and energy and stuff. And I felt this woman. I didn't know her. You know, she came to the shows and I kind of knew her. You know, and her husband. She goes, I thought you'd want to know Matt and I are divorcing after 30 years of marriage. That's all she said. And something greater inside of me said, respond to her in a way that's not like, oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And I responded in a way that was very much my experience of dealing with my ex-wife. And it was so deep for her that she went, wow. So then we ended up with a conversation on Facebook. And it continued and continued and continued. And I said, out of this conversation, what I'm compelled to do is share with you this journey that I've been through, which is a very, very difficult journey. Couldn't have been worse. I mean, my ex-wife accused me of horrible things.
Wow.
I was in court all the time, cost me $1 million. We've got minors counselors, and I'm just going, oh, my God, I find myself to be a really wonderful dad. My wife thinks I'm an amazing dad, and she's telling me I'm these things in the public and everything else.
Wow.
So I really went through a tough time, and I said to her, Leah, I said, listen, no matter what, out of this, you are either going to go back to him with a loving way and a way that you've never experienced before, or you'll separate with love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversation lasted a year, and that's what the book is. It's our conversation.
Oh,
it's time-stamped over a year. And I became like a muse for her. She's an amazing writer.
What's the name of the
book? I could not wait to come back to my hotel to see what she wrote.
Wow.
We wrote
How
almost
cool
every
is that,
day.
To be someone's muse.
And we That's went through so painful cool. process yeah. during that time. There was death in that time. We lost a child during that time. You know, and it was all this stuff that was going on. And I don't want to spoil it. No one will read it, so I'll spoil it. it's called Love Mastered.
But you got to finish quickly. We're totally out of time.
Anyway, it happens at the end. She goes, I'll never find anyone. I'm 50 years old. I was never in love. She admits to that. She admits to all these things. I said, no, my spirit is telling me you will. And then I said, I'm calling you. And I fixed her up with my friend since kindergarten in Philadelphia, who had just been through a painful divorce, fixed them up, and now they're getting married in November.
Well,
yeah. So it ends on a beautiful love note, wonderful. Right?
There you
yeah.
go. Craig Shoemaker, folks, and amazing. It's not Schumacher. He'll make sure that you know
oh,
that,
yeah.
right? He doesn't like that.
I'm not a macher. I do
listen to your show. But I don't listen to every moment because I have... I have a station to run.
So.
Yeah. But I do. We love having you here. Check out the show. Tell people it's Sunday.
Sundays at 5 o'clock,
at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific time, right. Exactly. And
you can catch it live. You can also see behind the scenes, Craig's Facebook Live at the same time.
Yeah.
If you just go to his page on Facebook.
Yeah, go to Craig Shoemaker fan page. I can't have any more friends on the other one.
Yeah.
Right, so go there. Yeah. Also go to latalkradio.com. You'll find
And I'm the Love Master on Twitter. And Craig Shoe on Instagram. I need more followers on there, by
the way. Instagram.
Yeah. Because my son rips on me. He goes, Facebook's for old people.
I know, I hear that too.
That's what they say.
Like,
they always have
Snapchat.
To go.
Snapchat, I know.
Yeah.
Craig Shoe on Instagram.
All right, well, Craig, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you
so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun.
Tori might have got a job out of it.
Yay.
No, well,
I'm hoping.
I told her. I said, you show up, you'll make contact. You know, there's no doubt about it. We have a lot of great people here, including Tori. And we also, our app is coming out soon, folks, for this show. So stay tuned for that. We are definitely, we've reached the big time.
Yeah.
So there you go, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.